Welcome to Illuminated, the 12 Months of I podcast. This month, we are thrilled to welcome Amy Connell as our special guest, diving into the theme of integration. Amy isn't your typical personal trainer or nutrition coach. She's on a mission to bring simplicity and grace to the lives of women, helping them feel and function well in all aspects of their lives. As the host of the Graced Health podcast, and the author of multiple books, including Your Worthy Body and Your Core Strength, Amy shares her wisdom and expertise to empower women to live their best lives. Join us as we explore the concept of integration with Amy, delving into how to find balance and harmony in our physical health, nutrition, and overall well-being. Welcome to the show, Amy. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Debbie. I'm thrilled to be here.
I am so excited that you're here. I know that I was actually in a webinar with you a few months ago, and I reached out to you immediately because all I kept thinking is, how can I have Amy on my podcast? Because you were able to give us tips on how to integrate healthy lifestyle ideas into your life. Can you tell me a little bit about your background and what brought you to wanting to help women in particular being healthier?
Absolutely. I have been a fitness professional for almost 20 years, and I'm a certified personal trainer and nutrition coach. One thing and one recurring theme that kept popping up throughout my fitness career is women would say something to the extent of, I feel like I'm doing the best I can, but when I look around, it's never enough. I have been saying recently, I think the wellness industry has lost its mind. And I mean, there's just so much going on in there. I mean, I saw a reel recently that it was like, you can't have grains, don't eat fruit, don't eat this kind of stuff. And we feel so overwhelmed by all of the messaging out there, and it just doesn't have to be this complicated. So what I love doing is working with women and just giving them very simple and applicable ways to take care of themselves in their already busy days. Sure, I could tell you, okay, you need to get up an hour and a half before when you need to leave and work out for an hour and make sure you do this and all of these things, but that's just not realistic. And so I think we have to approach our individuality with individual approaches, which is not a great way of saying it. Sorry. We need to approach our unique needs with individual ways of taking care of ourselves. And what I have learned is when I do this, I can just almost literally see women's shoulders relaxing because they've had so many people in their ear and scrolling along TikTok and scrolling along Instagram. It's just so much. But then when we peel that back and say, okay, but really what matters in our health? And it's a lot more than just moving and eating. I think that that empowers us to make the decisions that are best for us, not what we're seeing on the socials.
Well, absolutely. I love small things. I think that recently being able to integrate small things into my life, whether that's a fitness or a mindset or a movement, is really important. But I also know that you get off track. Like today, for example, while we're recording, I still have not eaten lunch. And I realize now that this happens to a lot of us, is that we forget, even though we could be on a plan. How do you tell people to make time for themselves? Is it putting it in your calendar? An alarm goes off to make sure that you're doing things. Like, what tips can you give people to actually stay on track?
Yeah. Well, first I would say, what's the most important thing for you? Maybe it is that you need to remember to have breakfast and have lunch because your brain uses the glucose in our food to, you know, to think and to, that's what it uses. Maybe we need to prioritize the meditation in the morning. I mean, a lot of us have done that. So I think first, it's not a formula. What I like to say is I offer a menu, not a formula. So yeah, maybe putting things in your calendar. I have someone in my life who does not like to drink a lot of water, and they will have a reminder every 30 minutes pop up, drink water. and they will have a few sips of water and they'll hit snooze for 30 minutes and it'll pop back up. So, I mean, it seems so silly, but when we are not in the habit of doing things, it's helpful to have things reinforced with intentionality until it becomes more of a habit. Some people like the idea of a habit tracker. Personally, I don't love it because then I get discouraged when I don't fill in, you know, and check that thing for a day. I know there's a lot of psychology that encourages habit tracking and says, you know, something like that. So I think it's more about like, okay, well, what's the most important thing that I want to do now? And if you say, well, I want to meditate and I want to drink water and I want to exercise and I want to make sure I'm having, you know, a bunch of vegetables a day. Okay. But what's the one? And let's start there and let's make it simple rather than trying to do all the things at once.
Do you have any suggestions for people on how they pick that one thing? Because I do think that many of us, especially in the industry I'm in, which is the events industry, is we want to do it all. And we all want to have the clients. We want to have the kids. We want to be the superheroes. We want to look great. We want to feel great. We want to eat great. We want to exercise. We want to literally do it all because we think that we are superheroes. We're not. We wear these amazing capes. I actually said, I have something that was given to me by a client that I look and says, given a tiara and a nice cape, I could rule the world. And we do believe that, but it does, it's more than just that. How do you kind of get into the psychology of understanding what that one thing is when you kind of want to do it all?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we see on January 1st every year. We want to do it all. We're coming in, we're totally saturated from food. We're totally saturated possibly from alcohol. I want to do a 180 and completely change everything. And that may work for some people, but the data actually also suggests that by the third week in January, people are like, screw this. It's way too much work. I feel like a failure and I'm not going to do anything. So I think the first thing again is really pulling down our expectations and expecting to do less and knowing that the event you're planning is going to run late. And so you're not going to get to the gym that evening or in the morning and giving yourself a lot of grace about that. I think the other thing too, that I have found helpful and I do a lot in my business is reframing why we even take care of ourselves in the first place. So we do want to do all of these things, but why? And what I truly believe is we take care of ourselves to fulfill the purpose that we are trying to do. And it may be that you are wanting to be the very best event planner out there and you want to provide that. So we take care of ourselves so we can have enough food to fuel ourselves well. We take care of ourselves so we can have the physical energy to do that, so we can sleep well. And so having a greater sense of purpose beyond just, okay, well, I just want to do this because this is what I'm told to do, also helps us stay motivated and also gives us some grace when it doesn't go as planned. Does that answer your question at all?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, for me, it's understanding, like, you got to kind of work backwards. I've got to understand why I want this. And then I can possibly pick which one is the most important. So for me, it was getting my emotions in check. It was understanding that I was in these terrible emotional loops that went from like anxiety to anger to fear and back. And understanding that if I can change that loop and go after what I really want in life, which is the emotional balance of freedom, I'm able to be in a better place for everything. So what I focused on was meditation. So that was like, I went full on starting, I think October, November, with I'm going to do meditation. And I was taking classes and it's a guided meditation. And it was week, you know, each week had its own thing. And I do it. I get up now a half an hour before my family every morning. I make sure I do it. I do my 20-minute practice. I attend my classes each week. I go to the kickoff of the every quarter. And I made sure that that was my priority. And I think that sometimes we all kind of want to start with a million things, but it takes, I wanted to get into the next question was about the habit, that there's theories on how long does it take to form a habit? And, you know, and understanding that you can't give up on day three because it's hard. You kind of got to get over it. What are kind of the psychologies and theories on how long it takes to really make it part of your daily practice?
Sure. And I want to answer that, but can I go back to what you were just saying about the emotions and about the emotional balance? So that is your why. And I think you hit the nail on the head because that is what is driving you continuing to get up. And that may be what's driving you to protect your sleep, which I'm a huge fan of. And so when we have that why, that is what will keep us going and make helping us to make the decisions that we want to make to support that the why and what we're doing. So I just want to affirm that I think that you are on a wonderful track with that. And I think it's worth questioning for those listening, like, what is my why? What is my why? Because, you know, if our why is just, okay, well, I want to have a six pack abs, you know, well, you may get that, or it may be that your body just naturally is not going to do that. So then you're just going to be frustrated. Now, as far as habits go, boy, there is, you know, the standard that I have always heard is, well, it takes 3 weeks to create a habit. And I am not up to speed on the very latest data, but I think that it is longer than that, if I remember correctly. And I think too, like habits are wonderful, right? Like we want to be in the rhythm of something. And I almost like that word better. Like, what's your rhythm? What's your trend? If you think about the stock market, if you go back 20 years, you know, it goes up and then it goes down a little bit and then it goes up some more and then it goes down a little bit. And the longer we zoom out, the more you can see that upward trend in the stock market. That's kind of what we want with our health too. We're going to have days that we don't do the things that we want to think or that we think that we need to do. And does that break our habit? No. I mean, I can tell you that I'm in the habit of moving my body and exercising most days. But I didn't today. Does that mean I've broken my habit? No, it just means I didn't work out today. So I think that we have to, you know, remember again, what's our goal? What's our why, our purpose? And move toward that understanding that we're going to have dips and we're going to have days that we're not checking the box of our habit tracker, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think that so I kind of started the whole thing with meditation first, which was great because that got my mindset where I was like, okay, now I can try something else. And then I really went into trying to feel better in my own skin. Anybody who's ever met me, I'm 5'1". I am like a very small, I'm a small person. I have very small wrists, I have very small feet, I'm a size 5. I'm just a small person. And for after having two children, and feeling like I don't live in my own body, even though I'm slender, I just didn't feel right. It was the most weight I've ever had. So I was like, now I've got my mindset in. Well, now I'm going to try something else. And it was changing my diet. And I started with that without throwing in trying to do the workouts every day because that wasn't happening. I am finding that there are days that are just a little more difficult. And giving yourself grace is one of the hardest things to do because I feel really terrible today. Like I said, I haven't eaten my lunch. I didn't even have my snack. I did make my breakfast, but I missed my workout today. And that was because something happened, came up. How do you like give yourself grace without beating yourself up and then being like, don't worry, we could do this tomorrow? Like a lot of people don't give themselves that. What are some tips on being able to give yourself grace?
Yeah, that's the magic question, isn't it? I mean, that's something that we all struggle with. And particularly those who feel like if they were given a tiara and a cape, they could rule the world because we expect that everything that we do is going to be executed perfectly. And the reality is, it's not for any of us. And I will say, I have yet to meet, let me tell you this, I have been doing what I do. And kind of in this online space for nearly 10 years, I have met or I have had multiple conversations, hundreds of conversations with women, and I have met two who do not have body image issues. Everybody else does. And so, because our bodies do change, they were designed to change. I am 49 years old. And let me tell you how fun menopause is with your body changing. And so my trick with that is I buy new clothes, but that I want to feel good in because The clothes that I wore 5 years ago don't fit me and I don't feel good in them. And so even though that may seem a little laissez-faire, you kind of have to meet your body where it is too. How do you give yourself grace? I think understanding that it is not going to be perfect and remembering that the messages that we may be seeing, again, on socials or something like that, are completely unrealistic. They are making promises they can't keep in terms of weight size or weight loss or crepey skin. I remember friends buying creams so they can have larger breasts. I don't see that as much anymore, but I still think that we are being sold a lot of snake oil. And so remember this kind of stuff, like be discerning and realize that this is not necessarily even how we are supposed to be. And going back to your why. So maybe if your why, and I'm just going to use you as an example, Debbie, you know, you were talking about your why right now is having that emotional balance. So maybe when you're feeling a little discouraged because babies totally mess up our body, maybe you think, okay, but I'm emotionally balanced and I'm doing the things that help me feel better, that help me feel centered and aligned with what I need to be doing. And that will give us the different perspective and take the focus off some of the things that we can or cannot control. So the other thing too, is to remember the neuropsychology with all of this. The more we think about something, that deeper the groove is going to be in our neurological pathways. So if I'm thinking all the time about lamenting this change in my body and, I love the saying like, I wish I was fat as I thought I was when I was 20, you know, like that kind of thing. And oh gosh, my body size is bigger and that kind of stuff. And that's a different conversation I would love to have about like, we have a set point. We are going to be a certain size. Our body fights to stay a certain size. But think about what you're thinking about. And is it something that is positive? Is it something that gives you grace? Or is it something that will take you down a wormhole of thoughts that you really don't want in there? And I would also say, talk to yourself like you would talk to your best friend, or if you have a daughter, like how you would talk to her and how you would encourage her, because our thoughts matter so much. But we're so unkind to ourselves. In this new book that I've written for teen girls, I call it the inner mean girl. We all know about the mean girl. Now, are you inviting the inner mean girl in your head? If so, maybe it's time to ghost her and to reframe our thoughts. And that will help give ourselves the grace that we need when we have those difficult emotions surrounding all of the things of body and health.
It's very interesting that you bring that up. My daughter is 7 and we had a bit of a blowout this morning. Found out that she's being bullied at school. I'm and sorry. Didn't know all this. And she was yelling at me because she wanted her pink, you know, her pink thing that we put her lunch in, but it was dirty. So I got her brother's, which was blue. And she's like, I don't want it. They're going to make fun of me. And I'm sitting there going, who's making fun of you? And she tells my son, because I'm just like, you got to get to school, go, 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 that she's being bullied. I knew something was going on at school the other day. And I asked her this, and she's 7. And there's other things that kind of happen. You know, they've got the social media and she's looking at girls doing makeup all the time. She watches the movie Mean Girls. Like there's all of this in front of her that she has to navigate. And this is before being a teenager. Like I am really like, trying to deal with how do I understand what, you know, her body image. I don't want her putting makeup on, you know, she does it. Her makeup is, I'm not even wearing any, but it's gorgeous. You know, she's more of an artist. So I allow her to do that, but she watches all these videos on how pretty people are. And then she'll be like, oh mom, I'm fat. I'm like, you're not fat. And how do you talk to our children about dealing with all of this? Cause we had body image issues when we grew up, but we didn't have it directly in our faces like we do right now.
You're right. It is significantly more difficult to be, especially a young woman, but young men also have issues as well now than when we were growing up. I have had multiple conversations with people, with experts on my podcast, on my Graced Health podcast, about this. So we talk more about women's health, but every now and then I bring in people and we talk about parenting because many of us are parents. The one thing I have heard over and over and over again with regard to our children and their body image is it is the most important thing that we can do is watch what we say about ourselves and watch what we say about other people. And they are going to tune into that much more than what we say about them. So if we're like, oh, and I'm not saying you're doing this, Debbie, by the way, but if we're like, oh, honey, you're beautiful. You're wonderful. Everything is one perfect. And then we're like, oh, I've gained weight. I need to lose weight. They're listening to that more than they're listening to anything that we say about them. So that I think is the biggest thing that I would impart to parents. And this goes for all parents. It doesn't matter, you know, and all children too. What are you saying about yourself? And what are you saying about other people? So that is the easiest, and I say easiest, that's the simplest thing that I would suggest in helping with our children, because it may not be easy. Again, these neurological pathways run very deep. And if we have been beating ourselves up since we were adolescents, that's a hard thing to stop. But instead, embracing body diversity. And I like to say, like, just point out if you see someone in an athletic, you know, catalog, and they're in maybe a larger size body, just point that out and say, God, that's an amazing pose. I wish I could do that. You don't need to talk about what their body size is. Just point out that this is normal. Body diversity is normal, and help them to realize that these are the kinds of things that, you know, we should be embracing and accepting, and not having an expectation. And I say this in the same breath that it is so hard because they see so much. And then if I could add, just give you one resource, and you may already be tuned into this person, but do you know who Dr. Lisa Damore is?
I do not know.
Okay. You're a podcast listener?
I try to be, yes. Okay. Get that in. Yes.
I have learned a lot from her because I have written this book for young women and I have two sons. And so I have done a lot of research. I read one of her books. I'm reading another one right now. And she has a podcast called Ask Lisa. And she's a PhD. She has done a lot of work. She's a psychologist in adolescent, the psychology of adolescence. And I think actually it's Ask Lisa, the psychology of parenting. She has some wonderful resources. Her book called The Emotional Lies of Teenagers is really good. That's what I'm reading right now. So I would say she's another good one to tune into, especially with regard to like, how do I manage online stuff with my children and protect them while also letting them stay connected? And so I would defer to whatever she says regarding that kind of stuff, but it's, you're right. It's prevalent. I mean, I know the kinds of stuff that I see and I have a pretty curated feed.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we all, I was sitting on the couch yesterday, you know, as everyone is watching different things on their devices, and I'm just watching like video after video of Mel Robbins. I'm just like, yep, talk to me. So like, I feel like she's like a straight shooter. I love, you know, the way she talks about things. It's in like those I love her storytelling. And I was like, yeah, I can get this. And then I wake up this morning and I'm yelling at my daughter. It's like, everything I just learned last night. Like, it's always one step at a time. But I wanted to get back into a little bit about like the integration now on integrating into your life healthy habits, because I think that we can talk about nutrition and fitness and meditation as like these chunks. But as a whole, yeah, I can take 20 minutes and do meditating and then yell at my child the next 5 minutes, which wasn't the right practice. It didn't work, or something got disconnected. Is how do you integrate something in a way that it becomes such a part of you without changing you? Does that make sense? Because I do feel like there's a bit of, I want to work out to feel good. And then there's I want to work out because I want the six pack.
Right. Right.
Like, how do you integrate these things into your life to kind of still be you and not take over all your time, but still get the health benefits out of it?
Sure. Well, I think what we do is we start very small. And maybe we just start with, walking for 10 minutes after dinner. Or, I mean, what is the words I like to use are what are realistic and what's sustainable. If you know that you have 20 minutes to devote to taking care of yourself, and that can be a lot of different things, then devote those 20 minutes and commit to yourself. And again, giving yourself the grace. And maybe you start with saying, okay, I'm going to start doing this 3 times a week instead of I'm doing this every single day or I'm doing this every Monday through Friday. But you have to be realistic with yourself and coach yourself along with, okay, what makes sense for me? Not what makes sense for Mel Robbins, or what she's prescribing or whatever else is coming up, but what makes sense for me, because that is what is going to keep you in there rather than having these huge grand ideas. Again, going back to January 1st and thinking we can do all the things because we can't. So what just staying true to, to what gives you joy. If you like exercising, find an exercise and do it. If you hate it, then maybe what you try and do is increase your non-exercise movement for the day. And you just try and make sure that you're parking away at the grocery store or you're walking upstairs at the office or, that kind of stuff and focus on something else. Like I love that you're spending these 20 minutes with meditating and, kind of pulling ourselves into that emotional balance and that alignment for the day, because it may be that instead of blowing up at your kid once, you would have blown up a couple times. So it may be still improving your relationships and other aspects of your life, even though it's not exactly what you would want.
One thing that comes up often, and I'm going to be on the road for 8 days at a conference, and I'm trying to think about, I'm on their agenda. They're paying me, I'm on their agenda. What are things as event professionals, especially who are on the road or any road warriors, that we can bring in? Because you could do things when you're home, but when you're on the road, you kind of get a little lax. What are some tips that you suggest in being able to integrate when traveling to stay kind of true, but not overdo it? Like you're still kind of on the clock, but being able to kind of just stay true to yourself while you're vacationing or traveling.
Sure. And that's a great point, because often when you are traveling either, with work or at a conference or something like that, I mean, your day is scheduled from the pre-event at 7:30 or 7 to libations until who knows how long. And so that's just the reality of events. I would say, in as much as it's possible, protect your sleep and maybe it's cutting out early. Maybe it is not doing the pre-event thing. But if possible, protect your sleep. And then also stay hydrated. Like, make sure that you're drinking your water. We don't need to be doing this. I just read this article yesterday about like this TikTok challenge of drinking a gallon of water an hour or something ridiculous like that. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying drink a steady stream. And then I would also remember that all food gives us energy. I'm of the believer, I kind of subscribe to the intuitive eating, which is there are no good and bad food, but there are foods that will make us feel better and function better. And so when we are at events, oftentimes we don't have a say in what we eat. We show up, there's the continental breakfast for breakfast. It's just things are there. You're getting whatever is in the plate when you're seated for lunch. I mean, you just don't have a lot of say. And what I would encourage you to do is pay attention to what you're eating, enjoy it, savor it, enjoy the community aspect of what you are eating, and try to be very attuned to your body, which can be hard if you haven't been doing it, and stop when you're satisfied. So I don't know about you, Debbie, but part of my history and story is like, I'm great when I'm at home, but then when I go out, I'm like, oh, Mexican food. Let's like, all right, I don't have it very often. Let's eat as much as possible. And so then that just kind of turns into this cycle of shame, right? Like, oh, I ate so much. I, you know, feel so badly about myself, all the, instead, I've been learning and trying to just enjoy the chips one at a time, not shoving as much as possible, eat the food. And when I'm done and when I'm satisfied, I stop. And I know that that is probably not what you were looking for, but I think that's the most realistic thing, because there's also something to be said about the person who, and I don't want to shame anyone for doing this, but like, I don't personally want to go to an event and be served chicken parmesan and, you know, with that fettuccine alfredo and all that kind of stuff, turn my nose up at it and not eat any of it because it didn't meet my macros for the day. You know, I don't know that that's really that great for community building. I don't know that that's great for my own mental health, because it is food and it still does provide energy. So I don't know. I mean, I think I'm not a great person to give all of these real specific tips and tricks, because it's more about feeding ourselves. It's more about moving in a way that we enjoy and that we can realistically do. You know, I have a friend who travels a lot for work, and she will get up every morning and she goes to the gym because that's what she needs for her mental health. And so she will sacrifice a lot of things. So if that's you, great. Maybe if you are at the happy hours, maybe you want to have a seltzer water with lime in between beverages. You know, those are great options to do. So that, and again, that goes to protecting your sleep a little bit more.
Right. I was just going to say that. Yep. Because that's my kind of opposite of the, you know, overeating. I am the undereater. I was not only do I, you know, go to events, but I run events and I've been in catering. And at the end, like, you never, as a catering person or someone running, you wait to the end. And then you make sure your staff eats. And it was always in my brain, like, everyone else has to eat before me. And so I have this to this day that I'll go someplace and I'm like, I'll go back to my room. Like, I didn't even eat today and I don't have any snacks. And then, of course, I don't want to go down and pay for anything. So I will go to bed hungry. I'll wake up and skip breakfast or whatever. And I'm the opposite. I'm like the worst. I'm the under eater. But yeah, that happy hour, I'm like, that's free alcohol. Yeah, I'll drink that. Like, I'm trying my best to protect myself in those certain ways. So I will definitely try to integrate that, you know, that sort of stuff. But I never turn my nose at food, but it's always like I forget to eat.
Sure. Well, maybe if you reframe that and think of this as part of my job description, is I am going to bring some bars with me or bring some trail mix, things that don't need to be refrigerated, put it by the Keurig in your hotel room and eat it. While, you know, eat something in the morning while you're having your coffee or before or after, whatever you like to do, and consider it like, okay, I need to make sure that the catering is good and that the decorations are there and that I have eaten breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so bringing some, you know, just bringing some easily, you know, nutritionally dense things. Like, I don't know if you like nuts or peanut butters and that kind of stuff, but like just, and sometimes we just eat because we just need to eat. Like, not everything has to be a party in your mouth, which I attribute that to author Leslie Schilling, but it's true. Like, sometimes we just need to eat because it will help us do what we are trying to do. So that would be, I mean, when we're talking about integrating, so what you're describing has never been my problem, but I recognize that that is an issue for you.
Yes.
So yeah, I would say like pack some things, and maybe you have some things at home that only go with you when you're traveling, and or they stay in your suitcase. And so that way you always have a little bit of fuel for your body and your brain.
Yeah, I'll be packing some protein bars and nuts and that sort of stuff, because that's what I know I like. But I wanted to thank you so much for being a part of our podcast, because I think that understand, like, everyone thought that I was going to do it on integrating technology. Everyone, I'm like, no, we got to start integrating things in our lives that are going to fuel our bodies and make us feel better. Because once you feel better, you do better. And I think that's one of the key takeaways that I had when I first saw you. And God, I can spend all day with you, but I can't be wasting your time. But no, thank you so much, Amy. And if you will, make sure that everyone has like where to find you, your podcast, your books, and everything. So any last thoughts in like a wrap it up 30 seconds?
No. Well, thank you for having me. And I will say this, you're probably doing better than you think you are. So keep doing it and just add those small, realistic things in the areas that you want to change.
Absolutely. Thank you, Amy Connell, for being a part of our podcast, Illuminated. And we hope you can jump on and maybe answer some questions from our listeners on our Facebook page. But enjoyed speaking with you. And thank you.
I'd be happy to. You too.